Amen. Appreciate the music today and scripture and each one who's here in a exciting time of the year, transition, kids back in school last week, some going this week, and for Mrs. Joanne Stanley being with us after a while at home and just feeling better to get out, and that's a blessing. And Brian and Jamie Sinelli, who was a wonderful blessing to this church for about 3 years or more, and Brian and I are part of the same coaching group, and we're not little league coaches, but we're in a group that teaches pastors how to be better in shepherding God's people. And get to know Brian and Jamie. Raise your hands, folks. About half of you will know them, and get to know them after church. Brian is a contagious guy who always feels closer to the Lord when he is around. So we thank the Lord for Brian. He's a pastor, and the Lord's using him. On today's gospel, Jesus tells a story about two men who went to worship. And it's a very moving story. Can't read this story without God putting his finger on my heart and your heart, and the Lord asking, "Where are you at with me?" And so one of the men who went to worship had an unhealthy relationship with God. And he didn't know it. And the other one had an unhealthy relationship with God. And he kind of discovered it in worship. So they kind of represent you and I at any one given time in our lives. They represent ways of praying. Okay, so you can check out your prayer life in regards to this short story. They represent ways of being. Or do you ever say about a person, you know, that's the way she is. That's just the way he is. And these guys represent ways of being before God, ways of relating to God. And I think they also represent two ways of sharing good news, because Jesus told this story to folks who were familiar with God and religion and faith and certainly wanted to pass it on. They were religious folks who believed in one God and knew the Bible. But Jesus had some good news for them that at first was going to be hard to swallow, but if they did let God speak to them, it would be very freeing in their lives. So you and I, at any one given time, we resemble one of these men. And I got from a resource called Truth for Life a retelling of Jesus' story. And sometimes that's helpful because you and I have never met, for example, a real first century Pharisee. We're in the 21st century. And they were known for their great devotion. And they were the good guys in the Jewish culture. Okay, so that might surprise us as we read that story and the impact it made on people back then can make the same people for impact on us. Also, you and I have never met a real first century tax collector. Okay, we've all heard of the IRS. But the first century tax collectors really were kind of robber barons a little bit. Can you imagine an IRS guy who was out to get more of your money than was fair? You'd say, "I am in trouble. You know, how am I going to fight the tax collector guy, the IRS guy?" It was going to be tough. So he was the bad guy in the Jewish culture. So Jesus is telling a story about a good guy and a bad guy in church. And the tough part, the Holy Spirit tells us, is we're one of the two. Oh, you know, we're one of the two. We're not in the middle. Our hearts are like the good guy in worship, at least outwardly, or our hearts are like the guy who starts to recognize he's a bad guy in worship. And it's interesting how their hearts respond to the good news that Christ tells through the story. And so here's a retelling of the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Okay, the story about you and I. Jack and Joe went to church one Sunday. Jack knew his way around. He had been faithful in church attendance for years. Jack took his religion very seriously. He knew God's word very well. Always carried his Bible. Knew all the songs and the hymns. Unlike his peers, Jack never smoked or used alcohol. Jack was extremely self-righteous about sex. No messing around between Jack and his girlfriend. When they would go out, they would have deep conversations about being a vegetarian or politics, or they would discuss their jobs. Instead of going to dances, they went to the church for prayer time. In worship, Jack glowed with inner satisfaction as he considered what a good Christian he was. Nothing to confess, nothing to be under conviction about, nothing really going on in his relationship with God. Jack knew who was in and who was out. And Jack was definitely in. And then there was Joe. Joe didn't look up much during worship. He was confused by what was going on, and he felt lost. Joe thought to himself, I feel like I don't belong here. What right do I have to even worship God? In fact, Joe felt totally uncomfortable in the place of worship. There was something about God and something about Joe that really intimidated his heart. Joe was overcome by how messed up he was. His own guilt and shame brought tears to his eyes and a lump in his throat. His broken heart and broken life were pretty open before God and often before others. Joe even beat on his chest like he was going to have a heart attack right in worship, right on the spot. Or maybe God was just really getting to him. Sometimes those things happen when people really worship the Lord. Joe mumbled a short prayer. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When he used that word mercy, he was using a word that meant, I need someone to come and provide a blood sacrifice for me. I can't bring it myself. God's going to have to do something really powerful for me to even be in his presence. God provide a blood sacrifice for me, a sinner. Jack prayed also. He prayed a little longer than Joe. He reminded the Lord that Jack was a pretty good guy. He was the church guy, the Bible guy, the prayer guy, the tithing guy. The Lord was not impressed. Jack and Joe went to church. Two men, two prayers, two guys who were being just the way they were. Two destinies that they would have. And eventually two ways of sharing about Christ that we hear about through Jesus and through Luke, the gospel writer. Does sometimes the Pharisee's shoes fit you well? You know, we let the Holy Spirit talk to you about that. We fit in the shoes of those two men pretty easily and pretty readily. Jack, Pharisee, religious guy. Joe, the tax guy, a lot of problems. Have you ever asked the Lord to give you mercy with the intensity that the tax man did? Or maybe a better question is, have you recently prayed a prayer like the tax man did, that God's mercy would be in your life? And when you've tried to share the good news with others, have you sensed your own need, like Joe might have had? I think when we meet the Lord and walk with him, we end up being able to identify real heavily with both guys. We recognize the need of being able to be follow, if you can understand this phrase, follow Jesus, but don't get too religious. Okay, we can identify with that call on our hearts. By all means, follow Jesus. But by all means, don't get too religious by concentrating just on the outward. But when we also meet the Lord and start to walk with him, we begin, I think, to learn how to bow like the tax guy bowed and pray like the tax guy prayed. And know the need like the tax guy did. And look where the tax guy looked. he looked to the Lord. He really didn't look to himself. He said, I need a blood sacrifice on my behalf. That's a great prayer to pray, and it puts your heart right with God. You might have come to worship a little bit on the wrong foot with the Lord. He understands that. And by the end of worship, through songs and prayers and talking with each other and gospel, you know, we could say, could I be at peace with God? Have joy in my life as I go? Or do I come with myself and do I leave with myself? Pretty much. Peter prayed a similar prayer. He was drowning in the water. He couldn't help himself. And Jesus was going to help him as soon as he heard the prayer. Lord, save me. Could you pray that for yourself? Maybe you've never prayed it for the first time. Maybe you haven't prayed it since you prayed it the first time, many years ago. Lord, save me. Could you pray a prayer like the thief on the cross who prayed, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom? And, you know, with hearts like that and prayers like that, the tax guy and Peter and the thief, many people started to turn to the Lord because of the three. First, the story Jesus told. Second, Peter, as God used his broken life. And third, the thief on the cross. Who was he going to introduce the Lord to? Well, all of us who got to hear his prayer, got to hear his story. And so one thing I know about people who don't know the Lord and about believers open to Christ, people are really, really glad to know the grace of God. And one fellow said yesterday, and I'm not quite sure where he is with the Lord, he said with one of the most enthusiastic voices I ever heard, the unconditional love. And I thought, wow, he's seeking for God. According to Jesus, two guys went to church, and Joe went home a believer. There he was. Whatever was going on in his heart, maybe we can't quite understand it. It's a holy place. But Joe went home a believer. At peace with God. Pete was peace with others as much as possible. At peace with himself. Jack went home lost and stuck. Stuck on himself. And part of the good news of the parable, which Jesus throws us a curve about, is this. The parable, the good news of that whole story, is really for Jack. It's really for the religious guy. Which shows me that Jesus had great compassion on him, or on us. That when we're attempting to know God, but get too religious, he would tell us a story that might cause our hearts to bow to him again. And he's a good Savior like that for us. May the Lord give you and me the right heart to have in our prayers and in our sharing the gospel. And might his name be praised. I'm going to close in prayer with just part of the song of And Can It Be That I Should Gain. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for telling the truth about our lives. Our hearts are really entrenched, usually in one direction or the next. Either entrenched on ourselves, which is not a real pleasant experience, or entrenched in realization of brokenness, which is also not a pleasant experience, until we see the good news of Jesus. And might we go away from church today, a believer in Jesus and his good news. For us, for the people we love, for the people we'll meet this week. And as John Wesley once wrote, and perhaps can kind of happen to Joe, the Joes among us or the Jacks among us, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin. But thine eye diffused a quickening ray, and I woke, and the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Might that be our experience as we go with your good news. In Jesus' name, amen.